During World War II, there was the feeling that Australia was vulnerable to external attack. And there were instances where, certainly in the European context, where mapping facilities were destroyed and people just realised how valuable the asset was. So instructions were given then. The current mapping organisation centred out of Melbourne were given instructions to go and find a more inland location further away so that they potentially weren't as vulnerable a target during wartime.
And how vital were these sorts of survey mapping activities during a time of war?
Very much understated. The Survey Corps did a huge amount of work that most people in Bendigo had no idea that was going on. And they received accolades for the work that they'd done. The Survey Corps was granted the title Royal as a result of the efforts that they did during World War II. And the large proportion of that effort came through from the base station, if you like, which was at Fortuna.
What was your first impression when you first walked in there?
Oh, it's just a magnificent building, and whilst George wasn't there in person, you couldn't help but work in a place like that and not feel as though his influence was still there. And even now, his history and recognition with the villa itself, and that many years ago, is still remarkable, and it's such an interesting story.
Is there a room that interests you most or has impressed you most?
In the earlier days, the duty officers were required to do personal tours of the building. So yes, over the years, I've done actually conducted a number of tours over the building. There are, you know, a number of different rooms, the concealed bathrooms, just the magnificent coloured glass birds and things like that. But really, the whole flavour of the building has a certain romantic aura about it. And yes, you sort of think, oh, well, there's the glass house itself, which was an old planetarium, and each one of the glass panels there are magnificent. But yeah, there's a lot of special rooms. I don't think you can really pick out one that's special. Even the circular stairway underneath the main turret, you know, has magnificent lead light windows and has the title East or West, Home is Best, you know, scattered around in the lead light of the glass.
George Lansell's bathroom, I noticed, struck me as well. All marble and very nice woodwork throughout.
Yeah, well, it was very much ahead of its time. Plumbed-in bathrooms were very expensive at the time, and to have a marble bath, even the turtle embellishments on the side of the bath, and the automatic switching between going between a bath and a shower head, and some of those things were just so ahead of their time, and so certainly so remarkable for Bendigo.
I think the only thing missing was a water-saving shower head on that one.
Yeah, definitely wasn't water-saving at the time.
Will you be heading down on Saturday to have a look?
Whilst I've seen the building a number of times, just out of interest and the fact that the building is no longer as generally accessible, yes, I'll be going up and just doing a little bit more reminiscing. We had a phenomenal back-to session just prior to the departure of Daigo from the building. And over that weekend, we had some 400 people came back from all over Australia to, again, just recollect, sort of say goodbye to that grand old lady.
That was Gary Warnest, president of the Ex-Fortuna Survey Association. But what about the future of the site? David French is Director of Property Disposals with the Department of Defence. He says Defence has made a number of changes to the site since the Army moved in 1942.
We've had, there's a number of buildings that have been constructed, as you can see around, and particularly the accommodation blocks and the mess blocks on the hill up there, and some of the other buildings around here. Predominantly it's office space and storage type facilities with large warehousing. That's probably the easiest way to explain it.
What's the process now in terms of Defence moving on and selling the property? What process is left to go through?
We've got to complete the assessment report so that we understand all the characteristics of the site. Once they're done, we'll be able to pass that information to state government and to the council. They'll be then in a position to view that information and have all the facts. They may or may not have a view as to what's to happen with the site. Subject to that ongoing discussion with them, then the government will either decide to follow through with further negotiations with the state or the council. In the instance that they're not interested, then an open market sale.
And final question, I've heard there's some repairs that need to be done to this site in order to make it safe for it to be open to the public. Could you describe what needs to be done in that respect?
Interesting question. I guess if you can think about a building that was built in the 1890s, they didn't have the same environmental standards, they didn't have the same occupational health and standards that we have today. The structure, the villa as it stands now, would probably not be compliant with the current building standards codes. So you would need to look at those sorts of things if you were to reoccupy the site in any sort of context. The future owner would need to look at the site and decide what the purpose for it is, and then you would need to look at the code and the compliance issues.